Good God, Father of all, Creator of all, Sustainer of all, we are so grateful, God, for who you are. We are so grateful, Father, because you have allowed us to know you personally. We're so grateful, God, because we have way more than we need any given day. Father, as we just read, we come humbly before you, knowing that we fall short. But also, Father, we lift up our voice and our hearts right now, knowing, Father, that thanks to your love and grace, it's not about what we can do. It's not about the things we do or the things we forget to do, Father, but it is what you have done through Jesus Christ. So thank you, because it's an immense privilege just to think about where we were, where we are now in your grace, but also, God, where we should be, Father, now and in eternity, God. Thank you, God, because we can come together and be comfortable, God, and just focus on you. Thank you, because we are a community that is multi-generational, God, and we embrace all those generations, God, as we are showing here this morning, God. Thank you for this privilege for sure, Father. But also, God, we just pray and we want to intercede for those that are in pain, those that are alone, those that are sick, those that are going through a rough time, that we might be a family, a community, a church, God, that will represent you well. For those that are within our community, God, but also for those that are outside of it. Thank you, Father, because you allow us to serve you by serving the least of these, God. Because we also are the least of these in some instances, Father. And your grace, your love, your mercy has reached us. So, God, we just want to honor you. We just want to glorify your name. We just want to be in awe in your presence, Father. And as one, pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you, glorify thy name in all the earth, glorify thy name, glorify thy name.
So, please join me on page 195. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole army of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, and I must speak. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Can I just say, you know, because I always say, you know, like General Patton say, improvise, adapt, and overcome. And I'm just so proud of my girl. Great job, honey. So, on a dime, from worship team to a soloist, so I was good. Thank you, honey. All right. So, have you ever met those brothers or sisters that for them everything is like a spiritual thing? You know, they go to Walmart and they catch the cashier giving them a little list change, and they say, "Not today, Satan," right? Or they or someone try to cut them and get into their parking, and they just get in first. It's like, you know, the Lord is my shepherd or something like that. If I was like that, I could assure you these last couple of days, I would have a couple of things to say like that. Because obviously, we were on a trip, me and my family, but it was a work trip for me in the first part. And we were out in Colorado, and we were a part of a national simulcast of a youth event called Dirty Share Life to train, equip, and send teenagers throughout the nation to share the gospel. So obviously, when you're punching Satan in the throat like that, things are going to happen. And after that, and in the meantime, I was preparing for today's message. And, you know, texting people, get ready, remember you have to do this or that. And things happen. For example, we went out on a walk on a wood, you know, in the forest kind of thing. And we see this little fox, beautiful fox. And I decided to record the fox. And I see the fox walking and smelling the things that are around, and my gloves were sitting there. And Colorado is pretty cold, as you may know or imagine. So I see this fox coming, and I'm like, no, those are my gloves. Please don't. And the thing snatched them and ran to the forest. I'm not kidding. I have a video of that. So I was like, what is going on? I went behind, I chased it a little bit, you know, I found the first one, and then I see him, or it, I don't know if it was a female or a male, further down, eating my glove. They're like, bro, that glove is 15 years old, but it's, you know, in the garbage right now. Later, or during that same time, my brother came with his family from California, and I tell you, my patience was tested. Because they are slow. I love them, but they're slow. You know, to get ready to do one thing, you know, it takes some time. And those who know me know that I like to be on time, you know, on the spot. And to close everything with a little bow, golden bow, we were running a little bit late because, again, my brother and his family are slow, to the airport. But we made it, and I was so happy. And I'm like, yeah, 200 feet down, I could see our gate. Let's go to the bathroom, relax, walk slowly. And then my daughter is like, Dad, I forgot my backpack. And it's not that she forgot her backpack like in the escalator. No, it was all the way back to TSA. And I'm like, all right, I'll try to retrieve it. I go sprinting, you know, mile high, sprinting through the airport. I had to go all the way around, go through security again to get her backpack. And the flight started boarding at 6:35, and it was already 6:32. And I started laughing because I was the ever looming "I told you so" from my wife. I could hear it because she was like, "You're cutting it too close. What are you thinking?" Because we got here today at 6 a.m. And I was like, "I'm going to miss my flight because of this." But praise the Lord, I made it. So not today, Satan, right? Amen. But for real, there is a spiritual battle, right? There is a war behind the things that we see, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. All of this is fun and games, but it's true. I didn't lose my cool. I lost my breath, but I didn't lose my cool. What Hector just read is a very well-known passage from Scripture, Ephesians 6, 20 to 10. And it's funny because this passage, not funny, but you know, it's interesting. This passage comes right after a whole passage about relationships, right? It's about husbands and wives, parents and children, and then go into this section talking about the spiritual warfare. Because often, my beloved, you know, spiritual warfare or the attacks of the enemy comes in the midst of our relationships. So it's not a mistake that this passage, because sometimes we tend to read Scripture in isolation, but these are letters that are supposed to be read at once, and one thing definitely has to do with the other. So I want to share with you, using this passage, a message called Prayed Up, Armor On, Battle Ready. And Hector already read the passage, so I'm just going to go straight to it. So, prayed up. So, this passage reminds us to be prayed up. Pray all the time. Because prayer is what energizes us with the power of God. Verse 10 tells us, "The finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power." We have the ability to be strengthened by the power of God. I wish that whenever I go to a gym, I could be strengthened by the power of the strongest guy over there, right? And do, I don't know, big squats or lift a lot of weights, but I can't. But we, as Christians, we can be empowered by the strength and the power of Almighty God. Ephesians 1, 18 to 20 tells us a little bit about this power, and it tells us this: "So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power. God put His power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him on the right hand in the heavenly places." Same power that rose Jesus from the dead, that seated Him to the right hand of God and put Him over all other powers and authority, is the same power that is available to us. Prayer energizes us with the power of God. And as you know, this passage is mainly about the armor of God, and prayer energizes the armor of God. Any of you, I don't know, if it's a fan of Iron Man, either the movies or the comics. But in the movies, I love the sequence in which Iron Man, Tony Stark, you know, is getting all that armor on, the helmet, everything. And right in the middle is that arc reactor powering all that armor. And if you've seen all the movies, you know that when that is missing or damaged, the armor is good for nothing. It's just a clunky thing, a heavy thing. It's the same way for us. We're going to be talking about the armor of God, but the energy of that armor of God resides in prayer, a heart of prayer. Secondly, prayer enables us to support each other, believers, around the world. Verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplications for all the saints." That's us. You're a saint, I'm a saint, we're all saints. We need to be praying for other Christians, as, and you know, and we need to be praying for each other here. I pray continually for you all, you know, my church, and individually as much as I can of those of you that I know have a specific prayer request. And I know Pastor Bob does that as well, and probably even more so. Inversely, guys, pray for Pastor Bob. Pray for the whole council that directs the church's affair, and for me as well. In verse 19 and 20, Paul writes, pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. It is a very specific prayer, isn't it? Pray that I and that each member of the council and our pastor, first and foremost, be given boldness to declare the gospel as we should. And I'm not talking only on a pulpit, right? But we should be prayed for like that, and we also should act upon that. So pray it up, now armor on. I will go through each piece of the armor so you can get an understanding of this great armor that we have received. And this is a topic that you could easily research. As I said, it's a very well-known passage. And get more details on it if you would like to. But this is what we're going to go through. Okay, so first, we buckle up with the truth-based life. Verse 14 says, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. So what is the belt of truth? It's a truth-based life, not a two-faced life. The idea is wholeness, integrity, and it comes from the idea of a whole number, either positive or negative. That word in Greek gives us that idea, a whole number that cannot be fractioned. We are to be that whole. We are to be consistent. We are not to be fractionalized in our commitment to Christ. There are no decimal points in our commitment to Jesus. We are not hypocrites. Hypocrites, as you probably know, comes from the Greek word used from actors back then that would wear masks, you know, you've seen those, masks of a smile or a frown or a sad face. That's where the idea of two-faced comes. And we are supposed to be the opposite of that. We're supposed to be integral in our life. And put the breastplate of righteousness. This is the second part of the armor, right? That is Christ's righteousness, not our own. Philippians 3:9 says this, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. We need to put that breastplate and constantly remind ourselves that our standing with God, it is not because our deeds, but because of what Christ has done. Just as a breastplate for a soldier covers the vital organs, the breastplate of righteousness covers the core of our vital standing in Christ. Satan will attack you with whispers of lies, but you need to cover yourself with Christ's righteousness and let it flow through us. Next, strap on your boots and be ready to share the gospel. As verse 15 says, a shoe for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready, whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Are you always ready to share the gospel of peace? I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, give me the opportunity to share the gospel with someone today. And that is a kind of prayer that God loves to answer. Be ready, always. It could be, like I said, on an event that is specifically designed for that, or it could be on a plane ride, like we had this morning. I met a new friend, Miguel from Honduras. And when I shared the gospel with him, his main concern was that he was drinking whiskey right before I shared the gospel with him. But I told him, you know, whatever. Don't worry about that. God doesn't care if you drink a little bottle of Dewar's White Label. He cares about you recognizing that you are absolutely without a chance, lost and damned without him. And you accept the gift that he is giving you freely. And then he started talking to me, you know, about his life. You know, he has a bunch of kids. He doesn't remember how many grandkids and all of that. And I told him, but you understand what I'm saying. Trust in Jesus like we are trusting the pilot right now. We don't know him. We don't know what he's doing in there. Maybe he's getting another Dewar's White Label thingy, but we are putting our trust in him. And he seemed to understand. So are you always ready? Like I said, Saturday of this last week, the 13th, we were in Colorado with my family. We have hundreds of teenagers and their leaders. And across the nation, there were thousands. Actually, more than 1,300 churches connected with us, to be exact, and were made ready to share the gospel as they went out with it. And not only were the speakers on stage, but every single audience member was trained to have those gospel shoes on. The Roman boots has studs on the bottom so that when they stand, it was harder for their enemy to move them. They were ready to stand strong, and that means we can also be steady and ready with the gospel of peace. Next, we hide behind the shield of faith in the promises of God. Verse 16 says, with all of these, take a shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So Satan has deep the tip of his arrows in tar and lit them, and he's aiming at each of us. And he's aiming at the part of your life that is most vulnerable and easy to hurt. What lies is he firing at you? For some of you, it's a lie that you will never be able to break that cycle of sin, whatever it is. Or that you will never truly and fully be loved by someone. Or that you are too, whatever, broken, addicted, bitter, or that the grass is greener on the other side. But you see, this is, in many people, the problem. If I could only live there, or if I could work there, or if I could buy that, it's always something else, and it's often part of Satan's lies that keep you distracted. The more promises from Scripture that you memorize, the bigger your shield will be. What that shield of faith really represents are the promises of God that we have, that we can hide behind. And some of you don't have a shield. You have a shield no bigger than a watch. And you're trying to, you know, cover yourself with a little tiny, pathetic little shield because you don't know the promises of God. You need a Captain America type shield, or even bigger than that, that will guard you from Satan's fiery arrows, which means you need to know the promises of God. You need to memorize them and use them. Sounds familiar? Right? When Jesus was in the wilderness? And you can go old school, you know, write a quote of a verse in front of a card, and then the whole verse on the back, and try to work your memory like that. Or you can go new school. There are apps out there to help you memorize Scripture. And again, this is not for anybody else, but it's just for you. Next, strap the helmet of salvific assurance. It says, take the helmet of salvation. And salvific is a descriptive way to say salvation. There is something about strapping on a helmet that gives you confidence. A couple of years ago, I was in the mountains during winter as well, February actually, and some friends of mine invited me to play broomball. Imagine, a Puerto Rican playing broomball. I didn't even know what that was. For those of you that don't know, it's like hockey, but on your shoes, and you just a normal stick to hit a ball on ice. So I was like, I don't know if I can do this, but then they gave me a helmet. And I was not good at it at all, but at least I had a helmet, and that gave me confidence. And I'm happy that I had the helmet on, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. I fell so many times, you guys. And I go, boom, all right, I can do good, boom, again. But thanks God I had that helmet on, and I kept going. And everybody was, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, sure, let's keep going. I did not score 1 point. I did not do any defensive play, but I had fun. And I felt a lot. But the helmet, right? It gives us confidence when you're doing something that you're not too sure about. We should be people of great salvific assurance. Are you 100% sure of your salvation? And this might sound a little bit, you know, too much, and it is for some religions. You can ask someone from other religions if they're 100% sure, and they will candidly say no. But Scripture says in the book of John that he wrote all of these things so that you know for sure who Jesus was, and that you know that you have eternal life in him. So do you? Are you 100% sure of your salvation? As believers of Christ, we need to know that we have eternal life. We should be so sure of our salvation that we could walk on a tightrope made out of a spider web on top of hell, knowing that he won't touch us because of what Jesus did. Because of the promises of God, we'll save you. So we are as good as safe. Are you sure? Do you know that without Jesus, you were going to eternal judgment? Do you know that God himself, seeing what separates you from him, all your lies, all your lusting, all your cheating, all of that, and he put Jesus in the way, so he will take the punishment and not you. Do you know that he took Jesus' righteousness, his perfection, and he put it on you, so that when he sees you, he sees Christ? Do you know that when he sees you, he sees a love, cherished son and daughter? Do you know when you go to the heaven's gate and you show your credentials that are nothing, but when Jesus comes along and says, he's with me, she's with me, you are welcome and you're able to go through eternal life in the presence of Christ? Do you know that? Have you made that decision of accepting the gift of God? If you haven't, and you're hearing this, please do it now. Time is running out. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. And Christ is telling you, today is the day for your salvation. Repent of your sin, accept the gift from God, and be safe. And then we can discuss about whatever you guys want, you know. But that is the most important first step. Do you know? That assurance should give you great confidence, because we can't lose. We are going to heaven. Finally, wield the sword of the spoken word of God. The verse we read, it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there is something about speaking the word of God out loud that is very powerful. You see, in Greek, there are two words that are used for the word word. You're following, right? Two words that are used as word, anyway. Primarily describes scripture, I should say. One is logos,
that refers to the written word of God, and the other one is rhema, that refers to the spoken word of God. And what rhema refers to is memorized scriptures that we speak out loud when we are in temptation in any situation. Just like Jesus did with Satan, it is written, and then he quoted scripture three different times. The idea is that the sword, this sword in this passage, is not a long sword. It's more, it's not a broad sword. It's more of a short sword that you will use for close body combat. That's the descriptive word that is used here. Like when you grab someone and you break out the little sword and you guys are fighting it out, that is the battle that we have with Satan. Eye to eye, arm to arm, and we break out the word of God and we stick it in his side. That means, to quote scripture, question, are you fighting with a pocket knife, or do you have a Braveheart type of sword? If you don't know the scripture to quote it, you can't quote it. Then how are you going to fight? So which piece of the armor do you forget to put on the most? The belt of truth-based life? Are you living a consistent Christianity? The breastplate of Christ's righteousness? Are you depending on what you do for God or what God did for you? The boots of readiness with the gospel? Are you praying the prayer, Lord, give me the opportunity to share today? And you say, well, I don't even know what to share. Come talk to me after. I'll help you with that. The shield of faith of the promises of God? Are you listening to the lies of Satan? Are you hiding, or are you hiding behind the promises of God? The helmet of salvific assurance. You have 100% assurance of your salvation? Or is it the sword of the spoken word of God? Are you ready to break out that short sword of God's word because you have some verses memorized? So prayed up, armor on, battle ready. Verse 11 and 12 says this, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So what does it mean to be battle ready? It means that you are prayed up and you have your full armor on and there's not a piece missing. But why is it important to be battle ready? Because we are fighting an organized army of demons. How do I know this? The Greek word for rulers and authorities in Ephesians 6:12 is the same word it used to talk about human structures of government in Romans 13:1-3. When it says there, submit yourself to the governing authorities. So the implication is that there is a unique and invisible, unseen realm of this earth that has a governing system of demons that rules and reign over it. Above all of that is the devil, and above all of that is God. And God allows it, God allows it to happen to accomplish his promises. And we do get a glimpse of this governing authority back in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, 12 and 13. And this is an angel speaking. Listen to what he says. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief prince, came to help me, for I was left there with the king of Persia. So there is some sort of demonic realm at this time over Persia This demon who was in charge of Persia, resisting the angel who was bringing an answer from God to Daniel, and he was doing this for 21 days. But then this angel calls reinforcement, Michael, to come and put this prince of Persia on his place. And this demon prince of Persia was taken away, or at least controlled, so the angel could deliver his message to Daniel. So it's enough of a glimpse behind the curtain to say that there is a governing authority. Someone is in charge, so to speak, of Puerto Rico. Or maybe that fact, or maybe the fact that we, being so small, have 78 municipalities is part of that demonic strategy, right? I'm joking. But there is a governing structure with different levels of powers, and we are fighting them. Why we need to be battle ready? Because we are fighting an organized army of demons, and they are enraged. They are stronger than us. 2 Kings 19:35 said, we see that one angel killed 185,000 soldiers in one night, and demons are fallen angels. Think about that. They're immensely stronger than us. As a matter of fact, Jude warns us not to blaspheme these creatures, saying that even Michael the archangel, instead of handling the devil himself, he says, "The Lord rebuke you." So they're stronger than us, and they're smarter than us. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand the schemes of the devil." And that schemes, that word means methods or strategy. Now, these methods and strategies, they have mastered over thousands of years of studying Christians, taking notes. And so Satan knows what makes you tick, and he is ready to attack you. Satan and his demons are stronger than us, they are smarter than us, and they hate our guts. Because we receive by grace what they fail to obtain by force: the kingdom of God. Imagine that. And I hope that you're not scared, because through Christ we are unstoppable. We need to be prayer up, we need to be armor on, and we need to be battle ready. With Christ we are unstoppable, and outside of Christ we are toast. In closing, my good friend Greg Steer, he's the founder of the ministry that I work with. When he was 15 years old, he was at this harvest festival over there in Arvada. And when he's walking out with his girlfriend at the time, they saw this house that has been redecorated, and it says big letters up front, "Abra Cadabra." And that caught his attention. He was a Christian already by that time. So he walks in, and he tells a story, and he says that, you know, when you walk into a place or you're in an area that you feel the heaviness of the spiritual darkness that is in that place, he felt that way. But being a 15-year-old, he kept going. So he saw two big tables in the middle of the room filled with all sort of weapons, swords, you know, you name it. Like medieval type of weapons, right? And then at the end of one of those tables, there was this huge maze, you know, with the ball at the tip with swords coming out of that maze. It was big. He says it was a huge maze. And he asks, and he looks at the end of the room, and there's two guys standing there looking very weird. One of them was wearing a karate gi, you know, the clothes of her. Okay. So, and he asked them, "Hey, what are all these weapons for?" And one of them say, "Well, some are for decoration, some are for, you know, hanging on your wall, and some are for sacrifices." And he says that when his girlfriend heard that some are for sacrifices, she just ran out of the room, right? But he was okay, because he was, you know, close to the door and next to that mace. And he says, "Sacrifices? What kind of religion are you guys?" And he says, "Well, we're pagans. What kind of religion are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm a Christian." And he said that at that moment, the guy's face changed, and he could see and feel like something was wrong at that time. And he told Greg, he said, didn't you know that Christ died 2,000 years ago? And Greg says, well, didn't you know that he resurrected 3 days later? Ba-bum. And then one guy looks at the other, the guy with the karate gi looks at the other guy and says, you know what? You know that this sword will be very good to sacrifice a Christian. And doesn't know if the guy was joking, but he didn't took it as he was a joke because he was very serious. And then my friend Greg, he took the mace, and he says, you know, this mace will be very good to kill a pagan. Let's get it on, right? So the guy saw that my friend had this big old mace in his hand, and he dropped the sword. Greg dropped the mace and ran out of there. He was not intimidated by a 15-year-old. He was stronger. He was an adult. He probably knew karate. At least he was dressed like that. But he saw that mace, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. The enemy, guys, they're not intimidated by you. But you hold a weapon that is not of this world. You have something in your power, which is the prayer and the full armor of God, that is a weapon that the devil cannot overcome. Amen. So let's use it. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much. Thank you because you have not left us in this mission, in this battle, in this war, God, without any resources. Thank you because you have given us yourself. And in that, we have everything that we need. Father, I pray that if there is anyone this morning under the sound of my voice who is struggling with something, that they will see that they have freedom in you. Father, if there is someone under the sound of my voice that have not realized their need for Jesus Christ, if there is someone that have not repent of their sin and put their faith truly, fully, and absolutely on the work of Jesus, I pray that they will do so today. Father, help us. Because we know that outside of you, without you, we are toast. We are done. And help us and thank you because we know that we have you. Holy Spirit, just look into our hearts. See what is in our minds. Take all of these prayers to the Father because you're the only one capable of doing so. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we're going to have a final song.